Welcome to A New Dawn with Pastor Albert, Senior Pastor of New Dawn Ministries in North Miami, Florida. Today's lesson is Grace, the Only Gospel. Let's join Pastor Albert now in session.
Somebody's going to treat me today. Open the Bible with me to, your Bibles with me to John chapter 1, verse 14. John chapter 1, verse 14. Do you mind if we teach a little bit today?
No.
You're chillaxing in the house of the Lord? And so you're ready to receive the instruction? Amen? So don't be distracted. Get into the Word. If your friend didn't make it or your family member didn't make it, don't big deal. I've lived through that before. As long as Jesus is here. Amen? Praise the Lord. John chapter 1, verse 14. It is my son-in-law's first Father's Day, amen? And so, amazing what God has done in our family and with our granddaughter. And just, I know Pastor Gabby's leaving early. He's leaving today a little bit early. He has a business trip. He has to be at the airport by a certain time. So if you see him get up, he gotta go work for Bella and Amanda. A lot of love there. He said he doesn't mind getting on the airplane because he knows he's providing for his child. That's what he said earlier. Amen. Well, how many thank God that love compels us? John chapter 1, verse 14, if you're there, please say amen.
Amen.
It says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us and beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of what?
Grace.
Come on, class. Full of what? And so today I want to speak on the subject of grace, the only true gospel. I forgot to put true, but the only true gospel. How many know that's true? It is the only true gospel. And the reason I think we need to hear this word is, it's because I think we need to clarify what the gospel of Jesus Christ is, or what is the gospel that we preach. And there's a lot of churches that preach a gospel, but it is not the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came emphasizing the message of the kingdom, but even though it was the message of the kingdom, in it, it contained the gospel of grace. He didn't preach anything but the gospel of grace when it came to the introduction of the kingdom. And I think many churches and preachers are preaching the gospel, but it is not the gospel according to Scripture. Because the Bible says that the gospel is the good news. I didn't hear that the gospel was anything a bad news. It's the good news of the kingdom. And so we see here that Jesus came. He became flesh and He dwelt among us and we beheld His glory. And I like the next part. The glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so we have to understand that Jesus came full of this thing. He came full of grace and He came full of truth.
Yes.
In fact, that grace and truth is not two words, it's really one. It's he came full of these things because that's what He was going to impart in the earth. He was going to impart truth, He was going to impart grace. You can only give what you have. In other words, you can't give what you don't have. And so Jesus came ready to impart, to share, to give grace and truth. And so it is important to know that when we speak about grace, we speak not only, we're not speaking necessarily of a doctrine or the latest popular message, but we're speaking of a person. Grace is the manifestation of Jesus. You heard that over here, guys? Grace is the manifestation of Jesus. Most people talk about grace as a doctrine, a philosophy, a way of thinking, but more than that, when we talk about grace, we're talking about Jesus manifested. And we're going to see this through the Scriptures. And it is important that when we preach the grace of God, we're preaching Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And no other. That's why, if He be lifted up, man be drawn to Him, right? Well, many of us are preaching a gospel that doesn't acknowledge or lifts up Jesus. And what it does, it raises up or lifts up other kind of gospel, man-made gospels. And we have to understand there is a difference. And so when people reject Jesus, they're rejecting His grace. Because, you know, he is grace. They're rejecting what he came full of, grace and truth. So when someone says, I don't want anything to do with Jesus, what they're doing or what they're saying is that I am rejecting the grace of God for my life. In other words, I am self-sufficient. I can do this on my own. I don't need God's help. When you're saying that, you're denying grace, but also you're denying Jesus. You're saying I don't need a savior. I don't need a redeemer. I can do this. I can perform. I can accomplish. I can do for myself. The reality is that when you go down that route, you are denying the only one who can help you. And so, literally, you are denying the gospel of Jesus, or you're denying Jesus himself. In fact, the only gospel, if we read the scripture, now listen to this, the only gospel Jesus preached was the gospel of grace. Now, how many heard that when John the Baptist came around, John the Baptist, you know who that is, he came, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. And if you read the story, or if you read the four gospels about John, he's really the one who preached more than Jesus himself about the message of repentance. Because he was speaking to the Jews, he was telling his people, he was telling the Jews, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And when he was talking about the kingdom of God, he was literally talking about Jesus himself. If you study the scriptures and you study the gospel, you would only find out that Jesus mentioned the word repent maybe twice in the entire gospel. And one was to a city. Jesus didn't have to preach so much about repentance, because you know what he preached? He preached about grace and truth. When the people get a revelation of Jesus, automatically there will be a shifting in their mind. And so he didn't emphasize on the message of repentance. Of course, repentance was important for the Jews because they were under an old covenant. And now here comes Jesus, and John the Baptist is trying to get these people to understand that the old covenant wasn't sufficient. And now there's an introduction to a new covenant. Jesus was the door. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the life to a new covenant. Are you hearing me? Now, go to Luke chapter 4, verse 17. Luke 4, verse 17. Luke chapter 4, verse 17. And if you find it, say amen. Well, that means many of you haven't found it yet. When you find it, when you're there, please say amen. Okay, here we go. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. Who was handed the book? Say Jesus. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Watch this. The Spirit of the Lord is what? Upon me, because he has anointed me to what? Preach the gospel to the poor. In other words, he has been chosen. He has been elected. He has been deputized to do what he's going to do now. Watch. To preach the gospel to who? The poor. He has sent me to heal the what? Brokenhearted. To proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery to the sight to the blind. To set at liberty those that are oppressed. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Question, is there any bad news in that proclamation? Do you see any bad news there? No. In other words, what can you tell a poor man is that he doesn't have to be poor anymore? Tell me, isn't that good news? If you've been sick and he comes and tells you you can be healed, isn't that good news? In other words, Jesus didn't come preaching judgment or bad news. Jesus came preaching the gospel, or the good news of the gospel. And so, what we have as a church is the good news. Is the good news. Say, the good news. Not bad news. Good news. And so, I don't know why so many people like telling people that things are going bad. I know they're going bad. They know it already. But when we talk about the message of Jesus, it is a message of the good news. Verse 20. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today, when? Today, the scripture, or this scripture, is fulfilled in your hearing. So all bore witness to him and marveled, watch this, and marveled at the what? At the what? At the what? Gracious words, which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, isn't this not Joseph's son? Do you see that when Jesus began to proclaim what he was sent for, it was considered gracious words. So that means that the good news or the gospel that he came to proclaim, the Bible says there were gracious words. Did you hear that?
Yes.
There were what?
Gracious words.
And so we have many people preaching a lot of things, but they're not gracious words. Because it's not the message of the kingdom. In other words, this was his mission statement. This was Jesus' mission statement. It's the kingdom's constitution. And so the fact that when we are in the kingdom, we can say, wait a minute, Lord, I'm in your kingdom and you promised that I would be free. You promised that I would be delivered. You promised that I would be that I would be healed. You promised that I would be that you would take away my poverty. Why? Why? Because it is the kingdom's proclamation. It is the good news of the kingdom, which is considered gracious words. Full of grace. Acts 20, verse 24. Come on, let's keep going. But none of these things move me, Paul speaking, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with what? Joy. And the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus. What did he receive from the Lord Jesus? What did he receive? Come on. What did he receive? What? Ministry. What did he receive? What did you receive?
Ministry.
From who? The Lord Jesus, here's what the ministry was. Here it is. To testify. Watch his ministry. To testify to the gospel. Here it is. Of the grace of God. Do you see it there? So his ministry was to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. So if you have a ministry that does not testify of the gospel of the grace of God, then you're preaching another gospel. Or you're in the ministry of another gospel. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes.
In other words, if your ministry doesn't contain the gospel of the grace of God, then you are preaching a false gospel. Or a condemning gospel.
Yes, sir.
Or sending the people to hell gospel.
Hello.
But the reality is that when Paul spoke, he said, my ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus Christ, and listen to this, so that I may finish my race with joy. How many know that Paul suffered in the ministry? And we read the stories and how he suffered and shipwreck and he was beaten and he was stoned and all these things. Yet he said, look what he says, so that I may finish my race with what? Joy. And, important, a conjunction, and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to what? To testify to the what? To the gospel of the grace of God. And so what is the gospel? What is the word gospel means? It means eulogion or eugelion. I think that came out in tongues. What does it mean? It means a good message, a gospel, a good news, especially the gospel. In other words, when we're talking about the gospel, we're talking about good news. And if someone is feeding you bad news, then it is not the gospel. The true gospel of the grace of God doesn't point out your insufficiencies because you know you are insufficient. So what we need is the good news that someone is sufficient.
Yes.
I don't want to know what I already know. I don't want to know about my weakness. I want to know how can I overcome them. Amen?
Yes.
And so that is found in what? The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In other words, this is saying if we don't preach the gospel of his grace, we will not be able, watch this, we will not be able, here we go, we will not be able to build ourselves up. Look at verse, in that same chapter 20, look at verse 32. Same Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Watch what it says now. So now, brethren, I commend you, I ordain you, I turn you over to God. That's what I've done with family members. I've commended them. I've turned them over to God and to the word of his grace. Are you hearing me? I said to what? To God and to the word of what? His grace. And so the word has to be what? His grace. Which is able to what? Build. Which is able to what?
Build
you what? Up. Not down. Up. And give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So the gospel of Jesus Christ, or the gospel of grace, it is the only one that can build you up. Any other gospel destroys you. Let it be known fact. I don't care how anointed you are. If it's not the gospel of the grace of God, it can only destroy you. Let's read it again. Here we go. So now, brethren, I commend you. How many of you have ever commended people you don't like? I commend you to God. He didn't say, I recommend you. He says, I commend you. I turn you over. To who? To God. You want situations to change? Commend people to God. And to the word of what? Let's read it. And to the word of what? And to the word of what? Which is able to do what? Build you up and give you what? Among all those who are sanctified.
We'll be right back with the second half of our message. Don't forget to visit our website at newdawnusa.info. Here you can see the dates and times of our services and a video archive of past messages. You can also find information of our powerful conference that is held just once a year called the Shift Conference and so much more. We now return with Grace, the Only Gospel, here on A New Dawn.
True grace, watch what I'm going to say. True grace swallows up sin. Watch, true grace swallows it up.
Yes.
Eats it up. True grace. When the grace of God has been revealed, watch what I'm going to say. Sin is no longer an issue. That's Ozzy. Right, Ozzy? He told me a story one time. He said, man, when I would get up in the morning, I would think, how am I going to sin today? That's what he told me. I would think, I'd plan, I'm going to sin like this. When the grace of God hit him, and a revelation of the grace of God came, he says sin no longer dominated his thoughts. He said, I'm not even thinking about sin. I'm just thinking, how can I love more on Jesus? His words. You hear that? When the grace of God is revealed, sin no longer becomes the dominating force. It isn't. The law maintains it up. Because you're always, the law says, do not, do not, do not. Grace reveals Jesus. So when grace is revealed, you're thinking about him. You're not thinking about your sin. Watch what I'm going to say. It becomes easier to live a sinless life. Will you sin? Sure. Especially you, that big head of yours. Woo. But here's what I'm saying is, when the grace of God truly is revealed, sin no longer has a hold on you. It's broken. So then we can stop saying this. How you doing, brother? Say, you know, Pastor, I'm struggling, but I'm there, I'm struggling. In the grace of God, you don't have to struggle. Because it's effortless, sweatless. It's rest. You don't have to try not to sin. You just live. You live. And in everything you do, you live righteously and it honors God. Are you still with me? So that's why Jesus is the gospel of grace. Amen?
Amen.
Did you receive that?
Yes.
Are you receiving that?
Yes.
One more verse and then we're finished. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Quickly. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Here we go. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon what?
Grace.
Upon what?
Grace.
That is to be brought to you. Watch this. It's coming to you when?
At the revelation
of what?
Jesus.
So when Christ, Mark, is revealed, what is revealed? Grace. But for it to be revealed, look what it says first. Look at the first part. Gird up. Prepare. Your what? The loins of your. Be sober. And rest upon your hope fully. And rest your hope fully what? Upon the what? Grace. That is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You see that when Jesus is revealed, grace is revealed? But you see how he includes your mind? You see how he says, well, you have to make sure you're sober and then rest your hope. In other words, be at peace. Chill out, man. Chill out. When Jesus is revealed, grace is revealed. Now, you say, Pastor, what you're telling me is too good to be true. That's why it's true, because it's so good. His grace is so good that it seems to be too good to be true. But once we walk in it and believe it completely, it begins to become part of who we are. Hear this. The last 4 or 5 years since I've been preaching the message of grace, every year I can say this, that something about His grace, it continues to be revealed to me more and more. It is almost like keys or principles that are revealed about the grace of God that enable me to live righteously for Him. Not in my own strength, but I understand it's Him living through me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith through the Son. In other words, the life I'm living now, it's by faith. So many of us are living and don't understand how to appropriate this grace, how to make it practical in their lives. And you have to be under the right type of teaching, because the wrong type of teaching can actually send you down a slope of self-condemnation. You hear what I'm saying? So hear this. You're Monday and Tuesday, you haven't heard anything negative. You come to church on Sunday and someone tells you, do this, do this, do this, do this. They give you a formula. They give you a doctrine. Blah, 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 blah. And what they're feeding you says, if you do this, you're in sin. Here's what happens. You became sin conscious. Or if someone comes and begins to teach you about the grace of God and the power that it provides for you to live righteously, now you are grace conscious, and guess what happens? You will tend to live a more victorious week because of the message you heard. Don't tell me that what you hear doesn't affect you. It surely does. And so instead of trying to battle what we heard on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, because we first have to get that garbage out of our system so that we can live righteous, because here's what happens is we're trying to live for God at the same time, but I think I have to do something, but I have to prove myself, No, you just have to rest and know in Him. Listen, I'm living my life now. This is the best time of my life. And I'm not talking about ministry. I'm talking about personally. And I'm going through challenges family-wise. Right now, I'm going through the hardest times. Today was not a good day for me when I woke up this morning. And I just said, Lord, I thank you for your grace. And I'm here. Seriously. Father's Day is not one of the best. But guess what? I'm living the best time of my life because His grace is being revealed. And when you know that, listen, it doesn't matter the contradiction. It doesn't matter the darkness. It doesn't matter the good or the bad. He's still God. He is God alone. And so, hey, even though when I don't want to smile, I feel like, she's doing good, right? I'm good. Hey, I went to the beach today. I felt a little melancholic. Is that a word? Yeah, that's a word. Melancholico. And I got up and I didn't want to pray in the spirit. I promise you, I ain't praying no spirit today. And I was posting something about Father's Day, and I saw a picture of that little boy, and I was on the beach crying like a little girl. God is my witness. I sat down. And I said, I choose today to allow the grace of God to infiltrate and invade my life. And my perception just, and guess what? I just sat there on the sand and just let the grace of God wash over me like the motion washes over you. I said, I just enjoyed it. And guess what? I was able to do what I did the rest of the morning. But don't tell me that they're not contradictions. Don't tell me that you're not going to get painful stuff or things that are difficult. No, those things are coming. It is the grace of God that allows you to go through them. Are you hearing me? When all hell is breaking loose, that's all right. The grace of God allows me, empowers me for me to go through. So you know what I've done? I've commended them to the grace of God. And what I can't do, now this is harder. Here's what's harder. We're used to like, this is what we're used to. And when you can't do it no longer, you feel useless. Oh, man. And you're like, and you can't do nothing. And here's what happened. I commend you to the grace of God. And you sit back and you're at rest. It's harder because now it requires faith. When you had your hands all in it, you didn't need faith because you thought you were doing it. I'm going to fix you. Watch this. But the moment you lost control, and you can't do nothing, you're going to learn the rest now. So you know what you do? I got something that's better than my own hands. I'm going to commend you to the grace of God. And the word of grace will completely transform the contradiction in your life. How many believe that? How many really receive that? You have a husband, a wife, a child, a daughter, family member. Commend them to the grace of God. And guess what? And God will do it. In His time. In His time. So meanwhile, me and my wife are going to take a vacation. Come on, boy. And I got a surprise for you, babe. I got a big surprise, but I'm going to keep it secret. That's a little too much information. But here's what. Here's what happens. While we're driving on that road, the grace of God is being revealed. We're enjoying what God is doing. Did you get the word today?
Yes.
Did you receive it?
Yes.
Did you receive it?
Yes.
Especially, listen, if you're going to be a boss or a politician or the man in charge, you better operate in grace. Because it is easy. Why you look back at your brother when I said that, man? Listen to me. Listen, if you're in charge of ministry, you need to operate in grace, because when you're in this position that you're ruling over people, you have to trust that they don't belong to you, they belong to Him. And so you have to remember when you were going up the steps how you needed someone to be gracious with you. Be gracious with those that are now under you. Because here's what happens. We forget the grace of God for our lives. We mess up. We sin. And everybody's supposed to be graceful with us and have mercy in us. And then we will go to the top. And guess what? We're looking down at people. We're stomping on people. That's wrong. We could be hurting people. Amen? Let's walk in mercy and work in love. Did you receive that today?
Amen.
Stand on your feet. Come on. Praise the Lord. Would you just lift up your hands? John, sing me a song. I'll sing it myself. Come on. Stand on your feet, just lift up your hands, and just begin to open your mouth and say, Lord, I thank you for your grace. Come on. Come on, open your mouth. Come on. I don't think we have any believers in the house, but it's a family net. Come on, just lift up your hands and begin to just begin to be thankful and say, Lord, I thank you for your grace. Lord, I thank you for your love. Lord, I thank you for your mercy, Lord. Bebro saba baba bastaya. Tibri ko baba baba basu. Prema la mando shaliara baba baba. When did he send this? Sibrio tabakala baba bashila. Tubri tala baba baba bashila. La 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 basia. Gro tala baba baba shila. Mandori la bakala baba baba. Bubri kama mama sohra koto baba baba bashia. Get a microphone and read this, babe. Shobra. Sibrio tama mando rokoto baba baba staya. Come on, pray in the spirit. Come on. Build yourself up in your most holy faith. Praying in the spirit. Come on. Shobri katala baha soya. Mambrusi baraka. Everyone. Come on. If you pray in tongues, come on. Build yourself up. Ebrexo mambrose bachita dino makoya. Woo. I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in this place, church. Mambrusi la mama mama sohroto mahibato deshta laba. Thank you. Que vos talamando dia namase bristo koi. Si anama son dia ste lan mi son de stika insta ya bosta. Selemanduri ala masa. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. I receive that. Oh, my Mashiach. Yamaha de Masia. Thank you. Pusha nama yamasu yanama yanamasi. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Shakuri ala mama masiya. Ira makuya. I commend you ala mashuri ala masiya. Thank you. Ya makuri ala masuri ala masiya. I receive that kala mama. Thank you, Gloria. Thank you. Yalama, I receive it, Lord. I receive it. Oh, you are such a good God. You're such a gracious God. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, can someone say thank you? One time might not be suffice. One time might not do it. Come on, just say thank you. And I know He reads your heart. He knows you perfectly. But just say, Lord, I thank you for your loving kindness. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you that you never abandon us. I thank you that you never forsaken us. I thank you that when even in hard times you are faithful to your word. I thank you that even when things are contrary or things are not going the way we think or the way we plan, you're still faithful. You are God alone. And before time began, you were on your throne, oh God, and nothing can move you.
Did you enjoy today's message? Like us on Facebook at New Dawn Live and leave a comment on how you felt about today's lesson. You can also follow us on Twitter at New Dawn Pastor. Remember to join us here next time for a new teaching here on A New Dawn.